Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Wonderful thing about communion is it's God's medicine for us. He showed us how to take this. There's lots of ways to receive healing in your body. You can receive a full-blown miracle. You can receive by faith. The Bible says that God sent His Word and it healed them. You can receive healing by reading His Word and by taking Holy Communion. God gave us specific directions on how to make this bread. This is called matzah bread. And matzah bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Remember, this bread is the body of Christ. He told us to take this as often as you will. So when we take this, the Bible tells us to discern the body of Christ. That means we have to look at it and see it for what it is. This bread is made without yeast. Jesus' body is sinless and was sinless. Now if you look at this bread, it's been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has been broken. His body was broken for us. Now, if you'll notice, there are stripes in this bread. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. In fact, our healing was taken care of before our sins were. And if you look, this bread has been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced not only on the cross when the Roman soldier thrust his spear into his side, but His body was pierced when they put a crown of thorns on His head. His body was pierced when they put nails in His hands and in His feet. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, we get redemption in some area for it. We have to find out what that redemption is and claim it for ourselves. And if you'll notice, this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. When Jesus was on that cross, He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the first time He ever addressed God as God. He always addressed Him as Father until then. Now, because God turned His eyes away from Jesus, He'll never turn His eyes away from you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're taking this for our healing, and we thank You for this. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been known to mankind. The blood of Jesus has done something that no man could ever invent. It completely washed away your sins, 100%. Completely washed them away. There are several things that happened when that happened. You became justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. When God raised Jesus back to life, that's when you got justified. Freely by His grace. It's because of that blood of Jesus. And this blood made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you are in right standing with God. What that means is that absolutely everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this. And we don't ever want to get caught relying on our own ability. We don't ever want to get caught relying on our own righteousness. We always need to rely on the shed blood of Jesus in His name for everything that pertains to salvation. Amen? All right. Just as soon as Miss Connie gets here, we'll have children's church, okay? You'll just have to hang with me for a little bit, though. All right, open up your Bibles to John chapter 16. And I got a question for everybody in here. Has anybody noticed that the Euphrates River is almost dry? Has anybody noticed that? The Euphrates River is almost dry. See, this is very significant in the Bible. It has a lot to do with the eschatology. It has a lot to do with the end times. One thing that the Bible says, when the Euphrates River gets completely dry, 1/3 of the people of the population will die. See, we're living in you can go to children's church. We're living in a peculiar time. We're seeing Bible prophecies being fulfilled right before our eyes, almost on a daily basis. We're seeing prophecies from other prophets that aren't wrote down in the Bible come true on a daily basis. God has been telling us what's been going on. And here's one of the problems with people is we get focused on our goals. We get focused on our ambitions. We get focused, well, I got to go to work. We got these bills to pay. We got these kids to raise. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got vacation next month. We got college to get ready for. We got all these things we got to do. And then we just zero in on our own little world. We need to pay attention to what's going on around the world. Check in what's going on around the world once in a while. You know, not everything is centered around America. You should check in what's going on in the Middle East once in a while. Kind of see how things are going. Match things up in the Bible. See what the Bible says about certain things. But don't get carried away in fear and don't get carried away in trouble. Jesus said, He doesn't want you to be worried. He said, What can you change by worrying? You can't change one cubit of your stature by worrying about it. Worry is just a terrible thing for the body and your soul. Worry will cause you undue stress. When it can be changed by the eyes of faith, I like what Keith Jarrett always used to say. He said, I lived through a great many tribulations. Most of them only occurred in my mind. That was a very wise man. I really loved that guy. He was a wonderful man. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking here. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now stop right there. our peace. And Jesus was actually saying shalom. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. That peace that everybody seems to be looking for. In Him, it's only in Christ are you going to have that peace to bring you through chaotic situations. It's in Jesus. You know, a lot of people, millions of people are looking for peace. They want peace of mind. They want this thing to shut up. And they're looking for an answer. And maybe some of them even showed up at the church. And they didn't quite get the answer that they were looking for. So then they go to the doctor. They say, I can't live with this anxiety. I can't live with this fear. I can't live. This thing has to shut up. So the doctor prescribes them some pills. Said, here, take these. And they work for a little bit. And then they have to take more. And then they have to take more. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to street drugs. Some people turn to sex. Some people turn to food. What they're doing is they're looking for a way to relieve the pressure and the stress of the moment. That peace that they're looking for can only be found in Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can bring the peace that you're looking for. Now let's carry on. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. I'm surprised at the amount of Christians that are shocked when they run into tribulation. As a Christian, you should expect tribulation. Do you know there's still a devil running around out there? Do you know that he's not going to allow you just to go skipping through life in a pair of silk stockings and a little robe and be happy, happy, happy without any interference from him? You should expect trouble. Matter of fact, there's been times when I was getting ready to go out on some kind of an adventure or mission, and it started seeming like things were just going way too smooth. And then I'd check in and I'd say, God, am I on the right path? And then the trouble would hit. And then I'd say, okay, I'm on the right path. I know I'm on the right path. When the enemy is trying to stop you from doing something, you're on the right path. When there's trouble, you're on the right path. You know, the devil, he'll set nice little traps for you. And he'll make things seem so easy for you, and you just slip right in there, and then all of a sudden, you're in a mess. You've been caught by the snare of the fowler. When God sends you on a mission, expect trouble. Jesus said that. In this world, you shall have tribulation. You're in this world. You're not of this world. Amen? You're just here. But you belong to a different kingdom. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now you're in Christ. That means you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. So what are you going to do in troubled times? Are you going to curl up and play possum and hope the devil goes away? I got news for you. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to go anywhere until you make him leave. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you. So what things is he talking about? Let's go backwards from here to see what we find what he was talking about. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 27. says, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Okay. So what are we going to draw from that? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Remember, the cross made every difference in the world. The cross made all the difference. The cross changed everything. One John chapter 4, verse 16 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's a teaching floating around that says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul, right? And that's the absolute truth. That's 100% the truth. That's Jesus said that. He cannot lie. But that's the law. I promise you, the harder you try to love God, the more you're going to fail. But if you go over to the other side of the cross and believe how much God loves you, then all this other love stuff is going to take care of itself and you're going to succeed. When you believe the love that God has for you, loving other people isn't going to be that big of a challenge. Loving God is going to be a whole lot easier. Remember, the Bible tells us that he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Believe the love that God has for you. Here's an interesting thing. The original 12 apostles, and even Paul, all of them but one died a martyr's death. Only John died of old age. Now, the peculiar thing about John is he ran around calling himself the apostle whom Jesus loved. He had a revelation of the love of God for him. The love of God will propel you so much further in your Christian life than you can even imagine. Believe the love that God has for you. When you believe the love that God has for you, you're not going to walk around in self-condemnation. You're not going to walk around looking at your failure. You're not going to walk around looking at your weaknesses. When you believe the love that God has for you, you're going to be looking to Jesus. You're going to see him and his strength and his grace and his mercy. Amen? So let's find another thing. Let's go to verse 23. Remember, we're going backwards. John chapter 16, verse 23. You know, you can read the Bible backwards and it'll help you spiritually. Funny thing, when I was a kid in school, these teachers said they had certain, you know, we'd have these dances at school and they had these certain, they'd say there's these certain bands that you're not allowed to bring music from that band, you know. So you play the record backwards and it's gonna be the devil talking to you. And I thought, how'd you figure that out? Oh, I don't know, but if you read the Bible backwards, it's still Jesus talking to you, and it's still going to give you life. Amen? John chapter 16, verse 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Did you see that? He wants you to ask the Father for the things that you need and want. And he said, use his name so that you can have joy in your life. Some people say you shouldn't be asking God for nothing for yourself. That's being selfish. No, Jesus right here, in his own words, he said, ask the Father in my name so that he can give it to you so that your joy may be full. How cool is that? That's a bird's nest on the ground right there. And you just found it. He told us how to pray. He told us who to pray to. And he told us why. So let's go to the other side of the cross here and see what we find. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is a perfect recipe for prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is our directions. John is giving us specific directions how to pray and where we need to be at. So this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How are we going to have confidence in God? This is very, very important to understand that each one of us as children of God must have confidence in a loving Heavenly Father that loves us. One way is to understand that he loves us with the same love that he loves Jesus with. Another way is to be fully persuaded that God will do what he said he would do in his word. See, Abraham became fully persuaded. So how did Abraham become fully persuaded? He meditated on that word all the time. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word. So when we find a promise in the Bible that's for us, we take that word and we meditate on that word day and night and get it in our heart. We're not changing God. You're not going to change God. You're not going to twist his arm into doing anything. What you're going to do is you're going to take his word into you. You're going to let his word change you from the inside out. It's his word that changes us. It's not our spectacular efforts. It's his word coming into our hearts that changes us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So once you get born again, you're in Christ Jesus. That means there's no condemnation to you. And why do I feel so bad over the mistake I made yesterday? Because the devil came and told you about that mistake. He said, you failed the law. You need to say, I am not under the law. I am under grace and the blood of Jesus, according to 1 John 1:7, continually cleanses me from all sin. I know I made a mistake, but I'm not going to fall into condemnation over that. And if you have a challenge with that mistake, take it to God and say, I thank you for forgiving me of that. Don't ask him to forgive you. He's already done that. I thank you for forgiving me of that. This really bugs me. Will you help me? You know, that's one of the best prayers you can ever say. Jesus, help me. So many times We try to bear the load on our own shoulders. So I'll figure it out. I'll figure out a way to get out of this mess. I'll figure it out. I'll do it. I'll handle it. No, just knock it off. Jesus, will you help me? Thank you. And then let him help you. He wants to be God in your life. It goes on here, in verse 14, it says that if we ask anything, unfortunately, people have reduced it, if we ask for our needs, he said, he'll meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But the Bible says right there, it said, if you ask anything, that's according to his will. He hears us. So what is his will? His will is his word. His will is his word. This New Testament is his new living will. He wrote out a will to you. An interesting thing, you know, somebody had a grandma that was richer than Ben Gump, and she kicked the bucket, and a lawyer come up and said she left the envelope for you. I bet every one of you would come by and get that envelope and see what grandma had to say. Well, God said that he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. And then he put it in his will. And we take these Bibles and we put them on our counters, or we put them on our coffee table, or we put them in a special place. We write down birthdays and anniversaries and baptisms and stuff like that. But a lot of people won't open that thing up to find out what God left them. And then they don't understand that Jesus, our high priest, is the testator of that will. And that he stands in the presence of God representing us to make sure that his will gets done in our life. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from us. So you're not going to receive anything that you don't know about. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And this is Jesus talking again here. He answered them, saying unto them, have faith in God. Right there in the original translation, literally, have the God kind of faith. And we've studied and found out that the God kind of faith says something. When God seen darkness, he just said, light be. And light is still out there creating at the speed of light. We've never been able to catch up with the speed of light. Verse 23, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, I'm so thankful he didn't say the pastors, the evangelists, the anointed ones, anybody else. He said, whosoever. That's all inclusive. Once you're born again, you are a whosoever. You are a whosoever. There's too many people walking around acting like whomy-mays. The Bible says that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You are not a whom he may. You are a whosoever. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. you are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You just have to become fully persuaded in that. Amen? We all do. We all do. The only way we can become fully persuaded is by knowing him. And it's one thing to be born again and be a part of the family, but to truly know Jesus is to truly know his word. Take his word into you. The more of his word that you take into you, the more of him you're going to know. Soon it'll be where nobody will be able to tell you a lie about Jesus. Nobody will be able to tell you a lie about God. His word will be in you and you'll know that's not the truth. Amen. I told people, I told pastors, said, you shut up. Don't you lie about my Jesus ever again. Don't you tell people lies about my God ever again. Not in front of me. They can't stand up to that. They cannot stand up to the word. When they're lying about God, I'm going to let them know about it. That's my God. That's my Jesus. He's done too much for me to not stand up for him. Amen? I know what he's done. I know what he does. He's true and living. Amen? Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Our job is to find out what God has freely given us, and then pray that, and believe that we receive it. You know, too many people want to believe it when they receive it. That's not going to work. You're going to receive it when you believe it. And here's the thing. You're going to receive it when you believe it, not when you earn it. Did you know you're not going to earn anything from God? Did you know that God will be a debtor to no man? He doesn't owe us anything. We're not ever going to be so talented that we can do something so good that he has to repay us. He's already freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Our job is to sit down and receive it by faith. Jesus did the hard work. We have to believe it and receive it. Amen? How did you get born again? You believed it and you received it. Remember, somebody told you at some point in time that if you believe that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. So we believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and God raised him back to life. We came to believe that, and then we spoke it forward. We said, Jesus, be my Lord. Amen? That's how we're going to receive absolutely everything else that we receive from God on this earth. If you need healing, you have to get it while you're down here on this earth. If you need finances, you're going to have to get it while you're down here on this earth. I'm not real sure we're going to need much money in heaven. He made streets out of gold. When you use gold for pavement, you pretty much got finances handled, don't you? The Bible tells us we're going to get glorified bodies. You know, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no gray hair in heaven. There are no wrinkles in heaven. All that stuff is signs of the curse. There is no curse in heaven. It can be restored. Your restoration will be completed. Amen? So we're going to believe, we receive what we believe. Let's go to John chapter 16. Verse 23. And we're going to cover this again, but we're going to hit it from a different angle. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's how we receive our needs from him. Now, I told you that we're headed into troubled time, and that there really is a devil running around out there. And Jesus is talking about using his name. So what else does he have to say about using his name? Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a pretty important scripture right there to remember. That takes the pressure off of you. You're a lawyer. That sounds like he just gave us power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. To use his name. Doesn't it? When you give somebody power of attorney, you go do business in their name. You speak for them. You do things in their name. When you have power of attorney and you're talking to somebody, it's the same as if they're talking to them. Understand how powerful that is. Jesus gave you the power of attorney to use his name. Now, when you're talking to the devil, as far as he's concerned, it's just exactly the same as if Jesus himself is talking to him. That's what he told us when we're dealing with the devil. Use his name. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do. So when you run into sickness, that's of the devil. You tell that sickness to go in the name of Jesus. That sounds like a lot of authority, doesn't it? I'm going to show you something in Philippians chapter 2. Just how much authority you actually have. See, you're not just a servant of God down here. You are a child of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Now remember, Jesus gave you power of attorney to use his name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Right there, he's given you authority in three different worlds: in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. There is absolutely nothing that you're ever going to face that's coming from the devil that you don't have authority over. You have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus. Absolute authority over him. You are to rule and reign over him. And in fact, if the devil has anything to say to you, he needs to say it to the sole of your foot, because that's where he's been placed. You've been seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You are above anything that the devil has to offer you. You take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Okay. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come." Right there, Jesus is telling us about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our guide here on this earth. Did you know he is the teacher of the church? And that he will tell you things that are coming down the road. He will tell you things coming in the future. He will tell you things to watch out for. Man, it just seems like yesterday now, but it's been 12 years ago. This company I was working for was wanting me to get invested into the 401k and just keep pumping my money into that system. And all I could think about was the Bible telling me not to store up treasures for myself here on earth, where moth rusteth, decay, and thieves break in and steal. And I said, "No, I'm not interested in this. Are you crazy? I don't want nothing to do with your system." And then I was running into people that lost all of their retirement. See, back in 08, when Obama got elected, somehow they decided that some of these 401ks could just be taken by the government. People lost millions in stock market crashes. I knew that this was a failing system 12, 15 years ago. I didn't exactly know how things were going to end up. But things are going to be really good, really, really good. Because we're going to go to God's system. Did you know he honors gold and silver? These greenback dollars that we pass around as money, he's not interested in that one bit. But we are going to go to gold and silver. Amen? It's going to be God's way. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Says, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. This will keep you from being led astray." Without having the word of God inside of you, I'm talking about the Bible. Getting the Bible in there, reading the Bible for yourself, and getting it in there inside you so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Without that, you could be led in all kinds of different directions. You know, there's people that believe absolutely everything their pastor says, and they're fools. I actually heard people say that they had to wait for their, whatever their government, their upper level government of their church, say, well, they have to take a scripture and then they'll tell us whether we need to believe it or not. No, you need to take the Bible and read that thing as if God were speaking directly to you, because He is. And you read the Bible for yourself. And you study that thing, and you meditate on that thing so that you can have that word inside of you so you can rightfully divide the word of truth. That way, when somebody's talking to you, you can say whether, you can tell whether they're trying to lead you down a bad trail or not. There's all kinds of bad trails out there. There's... when you see 25 pastors or 50 pastors going down to Washington, D.C. to bless Planned Parenthood, you know, they didn't get that idea from God. They're not rightfully dividing the word of truth. When you see them ordaining gay pastors, they didn't get that idea from God. They're not rightfully dividing the word of truth. I believe wholeheartedly in living by grace. But that does not give you a license to be an idiot. That does not give you a license to go do things against the word of God. So let's finish up chapter 16, verse 7 of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he's talking about Holy Spirit. See, Jesus was in the presence of the apostles all the time. They could reach out, they could touch him, they ate with him, they rode on boats with him, they went all over with him. And they were used to dealing directly with him. And he said, no, I'm going to go away and you're going to have to deal with Father, use my name, talk to the Father. But I'm not going to leave you an orphan. See, in those days, when a rabbi had a group of people that he was teaching, if something happened to that rabbi and that rabbi died, they considered his disciples orphans. He said, but Jesus wasn't going to do that. He was going to send a Holy Spirit here to be our comforter. See, this is why it's so important to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that when you do that, you get powered up to do the work of the ministry, which is out there. Every one of you has a ministry. We've been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creatures, to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, you know, be witnesses to his resurrection. Tell people about Jesus. Amen? Help people to get born again. He's invested that kind of authority into you. He's invested that kind of power into you. And he's invited you to go out there and work with him side by side and change your world around you. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every single day. We thank you for everything that you did for us in your death, burial, and your resurrection. We thank you, Father, that Jesus, our high priest, is always making intercession for us, praying for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that good things can happen to us because of his prayers. Father, we thank you for the comfort that only you can give us. And we thank you, Father, that when Jesus, when we see him face to face, he'll complete our redemption. But until then, we thank you for protecting us and taking care of us and guiding us and teaching us and showing us the way. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.